Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Well, since it was initially produced for the 2011 Toronto Fringe Festival, In's Choice play Kim's Convenience has had its share of success. It opened the 15th anniversary season of the Soulpepper Theatre. It's been staged recently in Ottawa and Winnipeg, and it will soon hit the Citadel Theatre in Edmonton. And there's been talk of both the film and television series versions of the play, which is rooted both in In's experience as a Korean Canadian and the story of the prodigal son. Despite the busyness of Kim's Convenience, In still has time to mount his one-man show, Subway Stations of the Cross, recently in Winnipeg and upcoming in Toronto. Ince is on the phone with us tonight to talk about his busy life. But before we get to that interview, let's listen to Catch 22 from the self-titled album Jean-Tu Elan by Jean-Tu Elan.
Feels like fire, feels like ice. Loving you is like rolling dice. But this ain't Vegas, baby, but I still wanna take a chance of romance on you. Taking chances, second glances, how did this happen so fast? All of this needs to be disappearing, but I wanna make it last. This, my idea of you and your idea of me. Don't know why, don't know where, just beginning to not care. Lift me up.
And our interview with Ince Choi. Good evening, Ince.
Hi, Rob.
How are you?
Good.
I think it's probably an understatement to say you've been fairly busy with Kim's Convenience. Did you ever think it would be this successful when you first put it on at the Fringe Festival in Toronto in 2011?
No, not in the least.
What's the ride been like right for you?
Well, since 2011. It premiered at the Fringe Festival in the summer, and then from there it went on to the Best of the Fringe Festival in North York a couple weeks after that. And then it went to Soulpepper Theatre Company in Toronto and opened their season in 2012. And then there was a remount of it that May. And then in 2013, we went to the Grand Theatre in London, Ontario, and then back to Soulpepper in May in Toronto, and then to Port Hope. And then we opened Theatre Calgary season in September. Then we went to Hamilton at Theatre Aquarius in November. And last month, we were at the National Arts Centre in Ottawa. And now we're here in Winnipeg at the Manitoba Theatre Centre.
And you've got some time coming up at the Citadel Theatre in Edmonton.
Well, in about 3 weeks, we head over to Vancouver at the Arts Club. And then in September-ish, we're in Edmonton at the Citadel, yeah.
Yeah, I lived in Edmonton for a while and saw many a play at the Citadel. It's a great, great facility.
Wow, yeah, I've never been there.
Yeah. Well, in looking at this, what has this sort of this busyness and that meant to you as a playwright?
It's as a play, playwright. I'm not sure how to answer that, but as an artist or an actor, it's huge. I think not just because it's my play, but it's also it's kind of a, I don't know, a sign of the of mainstream Canadian audiences' willingness and readiness and openness to champion and to celebrate a story, a Canadian story, an immigrant story that focuses on you know, a Korean Canadian culture, which is kind of a first. So we go into all these cities, and they love it. And so it's kind of I think it's symptomatic of the changing of the times. Whereas, I don't know, 5 years ago or 10 years ago, it'd be unheard of to have, you know, an all ethnic cast, a bunch of actors of color, being on a main stage in any of these cities, in any of these theater companies. And we're in like the biggest theater companies in each city. So that's like a huge move forward.
Well, there might be some people out there who haven't heard this or haven't seen it or heard the story. Can you sort of give us a quick summary of what the plot of Kim's Convenience is?
Yeah, it revolves around a Korean family growing up in Toronto in Regent Park. And if you're Korean, well, when I was younger, if you were Korean, your parents owned a convenience store. That was just what it was. Now it's changed a lot. So it revolves around this family, this Korean family, mother, father, sister, brother. And the father gets a generous offer to sell his store. And so that starts the plot of, do I sell it, or maybe I can convince my daughter to take it over? Because he wants to leave a legacy. And him and his son are estranged. There's an estranged relationship. And it kind of follows, loosely, it kind of follows the prodigal son story as well. So it's a comedy. First and foremost, it's a comedy. But it's also got some heart in there, too.
And yeah, I've been following the Twitter feed and the stuff you've been doing through social media, and it seems like this is just resonating with everyone, not just people, ethnics and Korean Canadians, but everybody seems to be resonating with the story. What is it about Kim's Convenience that, you know, people fall in love with?
I think it's Paul. The actor, Paul Sun-Hyung Lee, I think he woos them, and they end up falling in love with him, which is great. But I think there's many, many factors in the play that they hit home with a lot of the audience. I think it's funny. I think humor is just bridges gaps, or, you know. But it's an immigrant story, and I think all Canadians can relate. You go back a couple generations, and or even if you're not a recent immigrant, you go back a few generations, and your grandparents were immigrants, or so everyone can relate on that level. It's a family show, meaning it's about parents and children, grown-up children, and how they negotiate, you know, the landscape of differing values, but within that, love and forgiveness and stuff like that. So I think those are the big points, the big aspects of the show that everyone can relate to somehow.
And there's even been talk now of this being turned into both a film and a television series. Sort of, can you give us an idea of where things are with those developments?
Sure, but I'd just like to add one more thing to the previous question. It's also about a family business that I think a lot of people have shared that with me, that it's the passing on of the family business, whether it's a small corner store or kind of even a big company, there's always that humming and hawing about who's going to take it over, is anyone going to take it over, and what does that mean? In regards to film and TV, Soul Pepper Theatre Company, so I've partnered with Soul Pepper Theatre Company to produce this show, Kim's Convenience. And Soul Pepper Theatre Company has partnered with Thunderbird Films, based out of Vancouver. And they're developing a few projects. And Kim's Convenience, as a TV show and a film, is kind of like their first project. So it's within that context that Kim's Convenience is being turned into a TV show. We're in talks and just we're developing. It's slow and then it's fast, so that's all I can say right now.
And I've known other people that have gone through the process, and it can seem like it drags on forever, then everything starts gelling together. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to continue our conversation with actor and playwright Ince Choi. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Back to Arts Connection, and you've been listening to Don't You Lie from John to Elan's self-titled CD, John to Elan. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Ince Choi. One of the things that you've still been able to do, even with all the busyness of what's going on with Kim's Convenience, is put on some performances of your subway stations, The Cross. Can you give us a little bit of background on that and what it's about and how it sort of came to be?
Sure. Before I wrote plays, I wrote songs and poetry, and so that's kind of the roots of my creative writing training, I guess. And so I was always writing songs and poetry, and then about 15 years ago. 10 to 15 years ago, I met this, I was in a parkette in Toronto, and there was this disheveled man, I would kind of describe as a homeless man on the street. He came up to me, and he had a stick, so we're in a park, and he says, can I show you something? And so my guard is up, just wondering, okay, what's going to happen? And then he starts drawing on the ground. And he started writing Hebrew letters. And then he went off on like a 30-minute monologue about the secrets of the Hebrew alphabet, secret meanings in European flags or the origins of European flags, the history of the world, Jesus, the Illuminati, like just aliens, and just kind of went off. And my initial reaction was, oh my goodness, this guy's a crazy homeless guy. I got to get somewhere safe. But then as he was talking, I was cluing into what he was talking about. And by the end, I was like, this guy's an angel of God or a prophet of God sent to tell me something, and I'm just too dumb to understand what he's talking about. So I never met him again, but that experience, it was like a crazy experience, and it stayed with me. And so throughout the years, I've written stuff kind of in reaction to that, in response to that. And then in 2009, 2010, I started performing like a poem or a song at during the season of Lent at a church, at my home church, at a few churches. And then it just started to grow into like a 20-minute thing that I would just like through my, my friends' churches and say, can I do this at your church? And they'd be like, yeah, sure, come. And then over the years, it just started to grow and grow, and now it's at it's about 15 minutes, about an hour long, and I've been piggybacking that on the back of Kim's Convenience. So I performed it in Calgary, in Hamilton, Ottawa. Last weekend, I did it here in Winnipeg, and this Good Friday, April 18, 19, I'll be performing it in Toronto. On the 18th, it'll be at Little Trinity Church, Anglican Church, and on the 19th, it'll be at Walmer Road Baptist Church.
Well, looking at that and how it's come together in that, how did the subway stations of the cross come together? I mean, most of us who are involved in the churches have an idea of what the station is, but how does this differ from what you would normally think of as a Stations of the Cross celebration?
Yeah, the Stations of the Cross, they're like 14, depending on, there's about 14 stations and kind of tracks from the death sentence of Jesus. It's like a physical path, physical, I guess, a commemoration of where Jesus was from his death sentence to his deathbed in Israel, in Jerusalem. So that is a physical place that pilgrims have turned into each station is a place to pause, reflect, to meditate. And so in many sanctuaries and churches, they have a replica of the Stations of the Cross, either in, stained glass or sculptures or paintings, which are as well objects through which you can reflect and pause and think. So in likewise fashion, I took that construct, that structure, and kind of updated it kind of in a contemporary urban setting, and with the image of a subway station, and kind of a play on the words. So Subway Stations of the Cross is kind of an urban contemporary means through which to contemplate Christ, to think about life, where we are, where we've been. So that's kind of the idea behind the title. It's not necessarily the Stations of the Cross, although it is mentioned, but it's more songs and poems that hopefully challenge the hearer, the audience, to think deeper. Yeah.
So what's been the audience's reaction to this over the years?
It's been amazing. Mostly it's been in churches, and not that everyone in churches, it's been hosted in churches. So not just church audiences. But when I'm in churches, it's kind of, it takes a more solemn kind of flavor to it, because there's stained glass windows and there's icons and crosses. And I think most people, if they go into a church sanctuary, they kind of get quiet. But I had the great opportunity to perform it in theater context as well. Last October, I think, it was at Soulpepper Theater Company's Cabaret Festival. So it was part of this lineup of all these musicals, of these musical acts, songbooks, and they do a great job there. And so it was this kind of weird, it was kind of this weird show that was part of the lineup that a lot of people went to, and they really appreciated it. And some people really loved it. Some people scratched their heads and wondered, what the heck is that? And that's okay, too. I think that's fine. And some people are offended. Like, there's been some people who are, yeah. And I think that's part of the role of, part of my role as an artist, not to offend necessarily, but to challenge, I think. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a Christian or not, to hopefully challenge both.
Yep. Well, what I want to do is I want to take another quick break and be right back with our guest, Ince Choi. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Look up to the night sky to reach a star.
Back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to O Abbey from John Tuay Land's CD, John Tuay Land. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to go into our final part of our conversation with Ince Choi. In all of the busyness of Kim's Convenience and now the subway stations, the Cross, have you had a chance to work on anything else or even think about another project?
Oh, yeah. I'm constantly thinking about projects. I have a bunch of projects in different stages of development that I maybe like 10 different things, and they're all kind of theater related. Some of them are kind of near linear narrative, like kind of a typical play. Others are kind of these odd ideas. But Yeah, they're just all kind of growing. They're like my children, and they just keep growing at different rates. And I get interested in one this week, and then I kind of leave it, and then I get interested in another one like next month or so. And so who knows when the next one will be ready to birth. But I'm always busy.
Do you see any end in sight for Kim's Convenience, or is this just going to keep going on and on because it's been so well received?
I hope there's been some interest to take the play to Korea, which I would love, as well as the UK and the States, of course. Australia. I'd love to go to Australia. It's like a huge second generation Asian Australian community in Australia. And I'd love to go there. I've never been to that part of the world. But the States seems more, I mean, it's closer and there's some contacts and things are developing in that vein. So not in the near future, but it'll probably have an end. Hopefully not. Because then TV and film takes off, and who knows? Phantom of the Opera. How long is that running for? Yeah. Les Mis.
Exactly.
For like 40 years.
Yeah. Well, what if people are interested in finding out more about Kim's Convenience or even the stations of the cross, subway stations of the cross? Where can they get that kind of information?
I have a homemade website. It's called inschoy.com. And you can find all the information on that website or soulpepper.ca.
Well, Lince, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Ince Choi. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website, www.selawministries.ca. That's www.selawministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries, email robert@selawministries.ca or follow us on Twitter @Selaw13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.